while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
What makes Christmas, Christmas? When you think of the Christmas season, what makes it Christmas for you? What actually does? Bless you. I think that is the youngest person in this room that just shouted, Christmas tree. Thank you. But I think that's an important answer, because when someone says to you, what does Christmas mean to you? You should have an answer. No matter how theologically deep, culturally appropriate, traditionally centered, you should have an answer. What makes Christmas, Christmas? It's true that for most of us, if not all of us, there are certain things that must happen for Christmas to be Christmas. Otherwise, you know, Christmas won't be Christmas. For some of us, we must go to a carol service. If we don't go to a carol service, it's not Christmas. For some of us, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas unless we're singing the carols, singing the songs, listening to a Christmas story. You know, and that story is a story that is so safe. It's so comfortable. It's so familiar to us. It's so reassuring. It's like wearing thick socks on a cold winter night. You know, we get comfort from listening to that Christmas story again. And for some of us, that's what makes Christmas. Or, like baby girl said, maybe it's the Christmas tree or the decorations. Maybe it's the turkey or the lamb or the pheasant or the fish or the, you know, meat-free burgers or whatever it is you eat on Christmas Day. You know, some people, I said meat-free burgers, and quite a number of people are thinking, no, just no. Then again, maybe it's being around family. Maybe it's being around friends. Maybe it's the fellowship. It's not just the food that makes Christmas for you. Maybe it's the presence. You know, for at least minimum of three people in the Ayorinde household, yeah, there are presents. Now, you know, there in our household right now, there are five people from that household gathered today. Yeah, and there are presents, you know. And so at least three of them, three of the five, they're like, woo, looking forward to my presents, woo! Yeah, you work out which three. I'm just saying, you know, work out which three, woo! I once heard a story about wanting presents at Christmas. There were two young boys, and they were spending the night at their grandparents' house. And when it was time for bed, and they were saying their prayers, the youngest child started to pray. He was really screaming his prayers. Dear Lord, I pray for Thomas the Tank Engine train set. I pray for an electric. He was screaming. I pray for an electric scooter. I pray for a Spider-Man. And I pray for an Action Man. And while he was shouting, his brother turned to him and said, why are you shouting? He doesn't have a hearing issue. He can hear you clearly. And the younger brother says, I know God doesn't have a hearing issue. I know he can hear me clearly. It's just that I want grandma to hear me clearly as well. Isn't that the way it is, though? Isn't that the way it is? We all have things. We all have traditions, expectations, that if those things are not in place, Christmas would not be Christmas. For me, one of the things that I absolutely love about Christmas is the Christmas music. Babs talked about it in the morning service today, about how on PHBC Radio tomorrow, from about 9:30, I think, till about 11 p.m., it's just Christmas music right through. I mean, oh, not only Christmas, it'll be mixed. How many versions of Jingle Bells do you want to hear? Come on. You know, it's a mix, but it's a heavy. Did somebody nod at versions of Jingle Bells? No. I, you know, three or four through the whole week. Okay, you know. And for me, it's a really, really, really wonderful Christmas music. It's not just about the traditional carols. I like some of the contemporary things. I like some of the a cappella stuff and the instrumental stuff, some of the modern stuff, as well as some of the traditional stuff that reminds me of Christmas growing up. For some of us, this season is a time for us to reflect on the year we've just had. For some of us, we reflect, we remember. We remember what we have. We remember who we have. We remember also what we don't have. In this season, sometimes we remember who we've lost. This is a season where we can move away from the materialistic, money-making focus of the world and make relationship our focus, make humanity our focus, make people our focus again. Sometimes when we reflect, we see and we seek additional opportunities for a reset, a restart. This time of the year, people are thinking, okay, what must end? And it's around Christmas time, Christmas season, that we start to think this way. In this season, we begin to look at God as the God of one more chance. And when I look back, when some of us look back, we look back on the year we've had, we remember all the way back to Christmas, our childhood, whatever that looked like. And for some of us, those Christmases could have been better. Our childhood Christmas should have been better. For some of us, our childhood season was filled with loneliness, was filled with pain, filled with longing for the presence of friends, the warmth of family, the longing for acceptance, for belonging. And I'm sure many of us, if not most of us, if not all of us, have had at least one previous Christmas that we would prefer to forget, that was just not a nice Christmas. I know the year, I know where I was living, I know the situation and circumstance. I remember the one, top of that list, Christmas, I prefer not to think about. It was just not a nice, it was not a merry Christmas for me. And I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have at least one Christmas that wasn't so merry. And there's so many in the world today who find celebrating Christmas very difficult because of what has happened in a previous Christmas. Maybe that previous Christmas for them was a time of failure, a time of brokenness, a time of loss. Maybe it was a time of broken families, broken friendships, broken hearts, departed loved ones, memories of pain, memories of loss, memories of rejection. And yet, in spite of the feelings of pain, fear, anguish, anxiety, in spite of that, Christmas time doesn't only represent a time of hope. It actually is a time of hope. It's not symbolic of hope. It is hope. It's a time of joy, a time of peace, a time of reconciliation. You see, there's a previous Christmas that goes way back. It echoes through the centuries, the millennia. That previous of all previous Christmases, that with a timeless message, an unending message that is still valid today. And if we're to go back to that first Christmas 2,000 years ago, if we were to look at the nativity scene with Christ as a child lying in a manger, wrapped in those cloths, if we were to really, really look, we will see that our fears, our Christmas fears, our Christmas hurt, our Christmas disappointments, they can easily melt away. Because when we look at that scene, it is a scene that shows us hope. Hope has arrived. Hope has been born. Hope has come to earth. Hope has come to you. We know the story. We've heard it before. The night Jesus was born, the angel appeared to the shepherds, declared to them the good news, a Savior has been born. The good news was, the good news, if you read the text, it says the good news was for all people. It wasn't good news just for the shepherds. It was good news for all people, for young, for old, for rich, for poor, for Jews, for Gentiles, for you, for me, for those who are here, for those who are not. For all people. Christ had come, God in the flesh, to save all of us. And his birth wiped every slate clean. That's what his birth represented. All our pasts were going to be wiped clean. All of our pain, all of our sorrows, all of our rejection, our dejection, our brokenness, our disappointments, our broken relationships, our losses, all of them, all of our hurts were wrapped up in his love for us. That absolute, one of the most famous verses, if not the most famous verse in all of scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is the hope and the promise of that first Christmas, that previous Christmas. That is the hope and the promise of the God we serve, the God of yet another chance. You've heard me say it before. Every single one of us is a product of our knowledge and our experience. We're a product of our history, all of us. And that history for some of us, that story is not very pleasant. No. And many of us are carrying the scars of our past. We're carrying the scars of previous unpleasantness when we come to God. And I mean when we really come to God, not just when we come to church. When we come to God, actually come to God, when we really open up to God, he shows us through his mercy what we have become. You know, if you really want to know who you are, draw near to God. And that's why I'm sorry, sadly, a lot of people don't do it. We don't want, and hey, hands up. I've been there. I don't want to go deep into God because he's going to show me my mess. And I don't want to confront my mess. And honestly, I don't want to change. I like me. I like me just the way I am. And I'm, somebody said, wow. Because I like me and I'm comfortable with me. And I don't want anybody to change me. Not even God. Oh, but we do the whole change my heart, oh God. Fill me with your presence. Oh, please, shush. You know you don't mean it. Because for some of us, the change that we really need is deep and it's painful and it's going to cost us. And we want to stay in our comfort zone. God says, you know what? Get up and do it. Oh, it's winter. It's cold outside. It's 6 o'clock. What do you mean get up and pray? I'll pray later, God. And we've been there. We carry the scars of our past pain. But when we come to God, he shows us the pain, the regret, the bitterness, the anger, the bad habits, the indiscipline that we're carrying. He shows it to us. Some of us try to justify who we've become. We try to validate ourselves. And we do that by, you know, we chase after money. You know, we earn big money or we chase after successes. You know, I've got a first degree, second degree, third degree. I mean, I know someone who's got 2 PhDs. I'm like, what? Are you bored? What's going on? You got 2 PhDs. I mean, you can only be called doctor. I mean, we teasingly call him, jokingly call him Dr. Doctor. I'm like, you happy? are you really happy, Dr. Doctor? You know? You've got 2 PhDs to do what? Ugh. It just shows you have a lot to say, really. Because when you write a PhD, you have a lot to say. Trust me, 80,000, 110,000 word dissertation, you have a lot to say. But you know, and we validate that. We validate ourselves through our sense, our intelligence, our experience, our money, the things that we have, our possessions. We validate ourselves. Look at the size of my house. Look at the size of my car. Check me out. So I must be okay. But really, however, in the things that count, and I mean the things that really, really count, we truly cannot say we've achieved success. But despite this, God loves us. 1st of January this year was the 250th anniversary. Remember, we celebrated of the hymn Amazing Grace by John Newton. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I said in that sermon, I said a wretch like Digi. How many of you can really put your name there? Because we don't want to see ourselves as fallen, broken, someone that makes mistakes and gets it wrong. Because it doesn't fit our ego. Yet God loves us. God has not given up on us. And that is the promise of Christmas. That's the point of Christmas. It's to remind us. Every Christmas, we're reminded that no matter how bad we are, no matter how broken or messed up we are, No matter how selfish or greedy or rebellious we are, no matter how much we reject God, God loves us. And he never gives up on us. He gives us another chance to fix up, to clean up, to pick up, to move up. He gives you another chance and another chance and another chance. Christmas is a time of love and joy and peace and goodwill to all people. And we must never be so bitter. We must never be so materially motivated that we lose sight of that. And before we become too critical, you know, and we say, oh, it's not about me. Every single one of us is capable of falling into that trap. Neglecting the things that are truly important in life. And seeing money, seeing things that money can buy as the answer to our problems. Christmas. It's actually two words. Christ, mass, mass, M-A-S, mass. Is exactly what it says it is. It is a mass celebrating Christ. It's a holy celebration regarding Christ. Full stop. That's what Christmas should be. Sadly, for so many people, Christmas stopped being about Christ a very long time ago. It became about self, self-indulgence, extravagance, you know, have the brightest light in the streets. I mean, the neighbors wake up. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You think it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon because your neighbors haven't switched their lights off. You think, what's your electricity bill like? Gosh, if you got that kind of money, come and pay my electric bill. I don't mind. And it's about materialism. It's about money. It's about spend, spend, spend. And yet the Christmas story is actually the opposite of that. The real Christmas story is about the one who left all the glory behind, who left all the riches behind, who left all the wealth. He gave it up. He didn't come into a plush hotel. He could have stayed at the Waldorf Astoria. He could have stayed in a 6-star hotel, Michelin star, eating gold leaf caviar, whatever. I don't know what people that live in these, go to these places, eat. You know, we get our food from Tesco or Lidl. Or, you know, Londis, we're okay with that. But he gave that up to come and eat Tesco and Lidl and Londis and Quick Save. How many people remember Quick Save? he gave it all up. He was laid in a manger wrapped in cloths, the Bible says. The one who came not to be served, but to serve. That is the certainty of the first Christmas. That's the point. The promise of the first Christmas, that previous Christmas, and the assurance of the Christmas that we're experiencing today means that we can have hope for every future Christmas. Amen? Jesus came to transform our lives. He came to make you a new creation, not to leave you where you are. He says, come as you are. Yes, of course. Come unto me. Nowhere did he say, come and stay as you are. Nowhere in the entirety of Scripture. You come as you are and you are changed. You must be transformed. Because if you haven't been transformed, you haven't come as you are. You haven't. You're still far away. He came to transform you into a new creation. Take away your heart of stone. Give you a heart of flesh. And yes, the good news of Christmas, the thing that makes Christmas, Christmas, is that we can learn from the past to change the future so that we have a better hope, a better assurance. Learn from the past, change the present so we have a better hope for the future, a better assurance for the future. Whatever our past has been, because of the Christmas story, because God himself came as an infant child, whatever your past has been, you can get a different result. You can get a better result. The future is uncertain. The future is unknown. And in some regards, I think some of us are a little bit nervous. Some of us are even scared of the future. We're nervous of the unknown. Who likes uncertainty? Nobody likes uncertainty. That's why we have calendars and planning and all this stuff. We don't like uncertainty. However, when we look back and we remember all our previous Christmases, all the way to that first Christmas, when Christ came to earth as an infant child, born as an infant child. When we look back on previous Christmases, we must also look forward to what Christmas truly means. to seeing what Christmas truly means manifested in our lives, we must look forward to a time when Christ will come again, not anonymously as a helpless baby laid in a dark and dingy stable. When he comes again, he's not going to be anonymous. Trust me, the whole world will see. He's going to come with huge fanfare. In view of the whole world, in super, ultra, crystal clear, high definition, there will be no doubt that Christ has come. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says this. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Whew. Honestly, I'll be honest, I read a text like that and it makes me a little bit scared. Can you imagine that? The whole world at the very same time will know it. And people say, well, we live in different time zones. How's that going to work? And I say the same God that was there when Abraham was talking to Abraham was also at the same time there at the point of your birth. The same God that knows the end from the beginning, that raised Lazarus from the dead, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The same God that forgave you your mess. Trust me, he can make it happen. People say, oh, Jesus walked on water. Don't worry about Jesus, Son of God, God himself. Peter walked on water. Peter was nuts, wasn't he? Do your Bible read. Research the guy's personality. He was temperamental, taking swords and chopping ears off. I mean, who does that? Come on, Peter, calm down, man. You know, did you say rebel? Yeah, he was more than a rebel. He was a rebel leader, bruv. You know? And yet, he was one of two people in the entirety of history who walked on water. He experienced the same miracle Jesus did. Wow. Despite all of that personality stuff, God was like, yeah, I can use you. If there's hope for Peter, there's hope for me. And if there's hope for me, there's hope for you. Amen? At the heart of what makes Christmas, Christmas, is the story of God's redemption, God's transformation. And if we will only allow the point of Jesus coming to earth as a baby, if we will only allow that point, that reason to touch our hearts, to touch our lives, we can be changed, transformed from being self-centered, self-focused, grumbling, griping people. We become grateful, generous, compassionate people when we do so. Jesus, the Son of God, invites us to focus on what actually makes Christmas, Christmas. Folks, it doesn't start and end with us. It doesn't start with us, it doesn't end with us. And what better time to receive his forgiveness? What better time to renew a commitment to him? What better time to rebuild friendships? What better time? And when we allow what makes Christmas, Christmas, to saturate, to soak into our hearts, soak into our characters, soak into our value systems. When we allow that, we will begin to see. We will begin to see new ways to make our days count. You make our lives count. We find new ways to become someone that understands the value of life. Someone that enjoys the joys of life. Walks in the joys of life, I can say it that way. Someone who can truly love life. Because Jesus came that we might have life and have it in all abundance. Saints, that's what makes Christmas, Christmas.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.